ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. It's I, Kurt Wilson, your Armchair Survivalist. And today is August the 24th in the year 2019. Welcome to my show. If you want to listen to me live, and apparently you already know how to listen to me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com. At the top, you can click on chat, the chat room, and you can listen to it live there. There's also a link that says if you miss the show 24 hours a day, you can click on this link and hear the latest show. You do that, you can hear the latest show. On the left-hand side is a little nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You can click on that, and that'll take you to a page that shows you my archives for the year. Anyway, I'm also the owner of Survival Enterprises, and that's in Hayden, Idaho, which is exactly 100 miles south of the Canadian border. Just to let you know a few things that are going on, we have a closeout on the gravity feed water filter systems. We have a closeout on solar panels, little portable solar panels you carry around, look like a briefcase. Heirloom seeds, hot pepper seeds. For those of you who like peppers that remove the topsoil of your farm or the skin on your tongue, we have those and you grow your own. We got them here. You go to survivalenterprises.com or se1.us. On the left-hand side, you scroll down, you see on sale. Click on that. It'll take you to a page that tells you the stuff that's we're closing out on sale or what have you. You can also call us, 800-753-1981, 7 days a week. And if we don't answer, you leave a message. That's 800-753-1981. We have a store in North Idaho. Oh, I got to tell you this. Yeah, we have a store in North Idaho. It's a retail. We also do, you know, we've been in business 35 years. So we have mail order and catalog sales and walk-in traffic. We just spent about 6 months testing out a new line of products, and now we're selling them in the store, and as soon as I get the time, I'll put them on the website. But it's goat milk soap. I swear, this stuff is phenomenal stuff. The company's in Montana. Their product is from Nubian goats. It softens your skin and makes you smell better, blah-de-blah-de-blah, all this women's stuff. But it's cool. It is neat stuff to use. And so we have a line of that in right now. We're just testing it out for our customers to come in and pick it up. Half our store is stuff that I'm bringing from home because we're downsizing our house. I have been collecting so much stuff over the years. And, you know, we go to yard sales every Friday during the summer months. And I always find stuff that, well, I don't need it right now, but, you know, someday I might need a half a dozen doorbell kits. Now, who knows? So we buy stuff, but now my wife says, let's start cleaning this crap out. So I'm bringing a bunch of it to the store. And to give you an idea, I have a complete reloading kit, a bulletproof vest, brand new weed eaters, Corel. You ever seen Corel plates and cookware? I have that. I have crock pots, snowboard boots, DVDs, VHS tapes, guitar, cell phones. I got so much oddball stuff in here, it's fun just to come in and poke around. You know, you come in twice, and you'll see new stuff the second time. And I got jewelry, and I got, you know, Rush Limbaugh came out in 94 with a full line of ties. These are handmade in Italy. I got a line of those. I got a bunch of those. I bought them in 94, I never wore them. So we got all kinds of oddball stuff. Not just the normal stuff that we sell, if I can use that term loosely, but a lot of other stuff as well. All right, let's get into the show. I have different categories, as you know, and one of them is economy. So this week, Trump is pretty much the only guy that's ever taken China on. I mean, literally. He's the only president that has the gall to take on China. China basically controls the economy of the United States, and Trump knows that and knows that we have to stop it because they're our enemy. There's no question about that. It's a communist nation. Their goal is like Islam, to control the planet. So he wants to get us out from under their thumb. So he said, Trump has threatened all kinds of tariffs on Chinese goods. And China said, you know, why don't you just wait until the Christmas season's over and then we can go from there? Because, you know, you don't want your people and the civilians and the population to be buying overpriced Chinese Christmas gifts. And Trump goes, well, you're right. So we'll hold off on enforcing any new tariffs on you for now. Well, China continues to steal from us. You know, you don't dare invent something anymore because the instant that you patent anything, I don't care what it is, it could be a new type of underwear. Within 30 days, it's being sold on eBay by Chinese merchants. So it's intellectual thievery is what it is. intellectual property is being stolen and bootlegged. Where is it? New York City had a big, big story that broke about a month ago where they went down into the very expensive district and they found 1,500 different types of bootleg, very expensive underwear, lingerie, purses, cell phones. The list is astounding. Trump said, that's enough. We're putting tariffs on you, and we're going to be ordering, now I don't know where he comes off on this, but telling our companies to pull out of China and for our vendors and merchants to stop buying Chinese goods. Stock market crashed. It dropped over 600 points Friday. This is something that's going to have to be done. We're going to have to bite the bullet. We're going to have to complain and bitch and moan and whine and lose some money. But if we don't fight this trade war with China, we're toast as a sovereign nation, because our businesses throughout the United States rely on Chinese crap goods. And that's what they are. They're crap goods. Everything made in China, one way or the other, is crap. Some of it's better crap. Some of it's not. But that's the problem. So Trump is telling all the U.S. companies, look for alternatives to China. There's Vietnam. They're still Asian. But, you know, what are you going to do? Now, okay, so the Dow Friday dumped. You can expect a dead cat bounce Monday, and then just watch, because the market will go back down again. There's nothing that we can do about it. This is, our Dow is not controlled by what's happening in the United States. It's worldwide. And worldwide, all of the nations of the world are losing money. They're losing money because, well, they can't use their income that they get from taxes to better the living of their civilians, of their citizens, because of the major invasion that's occurring worldwide, is Muslim invasion. And the money is going to them. This is known. This is known in every nation. Now, if any of you guys, you ever got an email that says, hi, I'm a Nigerian prince, and I like you, and I want you to help me spend $3.5 billion. Or, my name is Sister Davidas, and my husband died, and he's looking for, or I am looking for somebody to help me invest the money in your country. Just keep going. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of these scams. They're all Nigerian. Which brings me to Nigeria. Nigeria is a country in Africa that does not and should not ever exist. It wouldn't exist if the United States didn't give them money every year. And if the government in Nigeria didn't fund and push criminal activities by its people. Nigeria is a criminal nation. There is nothing of truth that comes out of Nigeria or any Nigerian. They are Muslim, and therefore it's acceptable to commit crimes and lie. That is what's in the Quran. The FBI broke a ring of these Nigerian scammers in Los Angeles, where they were working. And there was about 80 known men and women that worked in this group, and they arrested I think all but six or eight of them, and they're all Nigerian, they're all black, they're all Muslim, and I think it's nice they did that. It's about time. In 2004, we Survival Enterprises actually started the cyber crime division of the FBI, because there was a game released by Blizzard Entertainment called World of Warcraft, and I got the rights to market it on eBay. Now, you could go into any game store, and for, I don't remember, $100, you could buy the box that has the book in it, the CD in it, and all of this, and a key. This is a code that allows you to access that CD. Well, we got the right to sell the code on eBay. And then you could go to Blizzard's website, download the game, and if you had the code, you just log in with the code, and boom, you're online. Well, we got the right to sell those. And we sold hundreds of thousands of these codes. And then we started getting, and I mean, this is after about 6 months, then we started getting calls and notices and emails from people who say, yeah, I bought this code, and it tells me that it's stolen. or it's illegal, or it's been used already, or something. And I'm like, what? To make a long story short, there was a whole crew of criminals buying these codes, not just from me, but from other companies that were selling them as well. And they were using stolen IDs, stolen credit cards, stolen PayPal accounts. And they were buying these codes and then turning around and selling them at half price on Amazon and eBay. And this is a big thing. And when it all was said and done, we'd lost over $50,000 because we had to make good all of these stolen things. Well, I contacted the FBI in Utah and I said, look, this is who I am. I know who's doing this. I want you to fund me and I'll go after the bastards. So the FBI gave me a handler. He funded me. He put me to work. He gave me he gave me 007 status on the internet, meaning I could commit any crime I wanted to on the internet, or I could do anything on the internet and they'd get me off. So my son and I started to dig into the deep state, or the dark web, let's put it that way. And we discovered a lot of stuff. We discovered that there were whole groups of people doing this. You want to buy 1,000 PayPal accounts? Now, these guys would hack and get the emails and addresses and passwords and all of this for PayPal accounts. They would never go to them. They didn't care. They just wanted quantity. For $100, I could buy 1,000 PayPal accounts. And then you just simply start going on there and buying stuff or transferring funds or whatever you do. And we spent a couple years doing this, and we discovered the source of all of this fraud, all of this criminality. You know, you get these emails that say, hey, your PayPal account's been compromised. Log in and change your password. Too many people are stupid enough to fall for an email like that, so they do. And now the criminal has your password, he logs in and changes the password, and you're screwed. So this is a big thing. So we started it, and then the FBI said, hey, thanks, bye. And they took it over, and they actually started hiring people who were a hell of a lot smarter than we were and more able and more better equipment, and then they started going after them, and they started capturing these people and catching them, and this is what happened. This is what happened, and it all started from me getting ripped off for $50,000 by some criminals. Now, we're going into food and health. There is and it's not a new disease, everybody has in their intestines something known as C. diff. Clostridium difficile. C. diff. It's a bacteria that, if your body is compromised, it'll start activating. And it could cause you diarrhea, massive diarrhea, stomach problems. Well, it's something that pretty much everybody lives with. You don't even know you have it most of the time. But now it's spreading into hospitals because hospitals, face it, that's where you go to get sick. And it's spreading now and it's mutated. So people who go into hospitals are ending up with this mutated C. diff. And it infects the gut, and it's the leading cause of diarrhea worldwide. And it's caused by antibiotic use. People who extensively use antibiotics to treat anything end up with this kind of disease. Those of you out there, don't think this is weird, because it does happen every day. We have somebody comes in every week to the store and says, yeah, I've been on antibiotics for 2 years now because I have C. diff, and it won't go away. Well, it's because it's mutated, and the antibiotics are feeding it. There's things that you can do to kill it, and to put it under control, but not if you follow what a doctor says. Now, this next thing, I don't know. I was torn between putting this one under the category liberal psychosis, or health and food, and it's a health problem. So I might as well put it under health. So those of you in Los Angeles, while you're busy dodging piles of human feces in the road or jumping over rivers of human urine in the street, you need to be careful, because leprosy is on the rise in Los Angeles. What's happening with these cities, these large Democrat-controlled cities, is they allow humans from any place in the world in. And they get people who are illegal and criminal, and they live on the street. Now diseases that haven't been seen in hundreds of years are starting to pop up again. And that's the problem that we're finding in Los Angeles. Leprosy is starting. And it's been a lot in Los Angeles area. Don't go down into the bad areas unless you have to. There's more than just that going on, and there's more diseases than just that, and they're being passed on by criminal aliens, immigrants from all over the world are passing on their diseases to us. I guess they figure that's the exchange for coming to our country and living off of us. They're going to give us something back for that. Here's something that I'm sure your mom told you. Sit up straight. Stand straight. Watch your posture. We actually had that, and I remember in school where they would draw our posture, and a doctor would come in and explain to us why our posture was important, how you stand. How you sit in a chair, how you stand, basically balances your body and puts the weight where it's supposed to be properly. Well, it does more than that. It affects confidence in your own thoughts. Now, this is one of those, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did a sloppy posture cause somebody to be, you know, have bad confidence in himself? Or did bad confidence in yourself cause you to have bad posture? You know, who knows? But what they discovered in a study is that to the degree you have good posture, to that degree you have confidence in yourself. So you just take a look at it. And see if this works for you. And they did over 71 studies. They studied 71 students at Ohio State, and they come up with the same idea. The winners are the ones that had good postures. The losers are the ones that didn't. Now, by the way, you go to armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side. You'll see a link. It says show notes. Now, everything I talk about, I have a link to it. And you can go there and you can read about it, and then you'll understand. You'll understand. Every show I have, I have a link to it on show notes, and you can go see this stuff, exactly what I'm talking about. So we have a problem with wolves in the United States, and that's because of these psychotics called environmentalists. And they've controlled the government and force the government to allow wolves to come back into play. Oh, we have a problem here in Idaho every week. They just had to go kill a pack of wolves because they've killed over 30 cattle. And the problem with these kind of wolves is that they are no longer afraid of humans. And because they have no natural predators like humans used to be, they don't kill for food anymore. They kill for sport. They would go out and kill four or five sheep and only chew on one of them and leave. Well, there was a family at a campground, and this guy started hearing screaming from there. And he runs over, and there was a wolf in the tent that was attacking the family. So he drop kicked it hard. And it come out of the tent and started to come after him. But by that time, the man was up, the other guy was up, and they started throwing rocks at the wolf, and it took off. This doesn't happen. This is one of the first times a wolf has actually gone hunting a human for food. Now, there's another article here, and it talks about Trump's favorite, fake news. Well, have you ever heard of the Mandela effect? The Mandela effect, basically surmised, is a belief that you have that something did or didn't happen, and it turns out that the reality is the opposite. Now, this is a study that was done in Ireland on fake news. You've seen fake news. Just turn on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, doesn't matter, it's fake news. And you can look at that and go, wow. So Trump has orange hair. Yeah, no, I don't think so, because I saw a picture of him that shows him with he's blonde. Okay, that's fake news, is when you see a picture of him with orange hair. Unfortunately, you have people who are easily propagandized, and that's most Democrats, almost all of them. They believe whatever they're told. And then they create memories in their mind, to verify the false and fake news. I had a woman come in here and was telling me how Trump is an orange-haired rapist. And I said, what? What do you mean orange-haired? Yeah, he has orange hair. I said, what are you talking about? He has orange hair. Well, everyone knows he has orange hair. And the woman with her, yeah, he has orange hair. What, don't you know that? He's your president, and he has orange hair. And I said, no, his hair is blonde, just like yours. Oh, you're lying. Everyone knows he has orange hair. This is a false memory that was created in her mind because she has a weak mind and falls prey to these kind of propaganda called fake news. So you will come across this if you haven't already. People say, oh, yeah, that's true or that isn't true. And it's all based on they're setting up memory circuits in their brain, in their mind, so that now whatever they looked at, they think is real. And it's easier if the person is more, like, if you want to talk about how bad conservatives are and how bad America is and how bad whites are and bad Christians are, it's easier to do that to a communist, a socialist, or a Democrat, because their mind is already set to that way. So it's easier to do that. If you talk to somebody who's a libertarian or a conservative, or who has no concept at all about politics, it'll be harder to create that circuit in their mind. All right, so we're going to get to Islam now. Amsterdam businessman comes home from vacation and finds that one of his buildings that was vacant is now full of Muslims. These are invaders that came to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam government said, you have to go away because we're not going to allow you in. They said, thank you, walked off, and they just squatted. It's astounding. He was kicked out of his own building. There was like 30 of them in there. And in Sweden, there's always been robberies, right? Well, now there's so many robberies targeting children. These are kids below 18. And the study doesn't say whether they're Muslim or Christian or white or brown or black or whatever. It's just these crimes, these robberies targeting children as young as 9 is at a record high now. And the one particle of data that runs through all of these is that every one of the robbers is Muslim. And usually from Somalia. You know Somalia. Somalia, where one of our most rabid congresswomen comes from. So now, you know how you have Christmas off and Easter off and that kind of stuff. But because the Muslim population is growing in the U.S. and maybe 1% of the population of the United States is Muslim, well, now some of the school districts are starting to incorporate Muslim holy days into the days the children get off. Yeah, that's going to go over great here in North Idaho. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we are going into the liberal psychosis, my least favorite category. Everywhere you look in the world, the whole concept of sanity is being eradicated. I don't mean people are acting crazier than normal, even though that's true. It means there are agencies and people actively working to eradicate sanity. To give you an idea, anything that is not normal sexuality is insanity. It's a psychosis. It's a break from reality. So these people who claim that they're, even though they were born a male, they actually are a female and vice versa, or fluid can be either, or don't want to be any of the above, or any of that. That's a psychosis. And the more you feed a psychosis, the stronger it gets. And that seems to be the goal in Australia. Australia libraries are promoting a book that it's about a teenager who is a switch hitter. And in the book, they talk about six-year-olds liking oral sex. I'm not going to go any further than that with this story. That's in Australia. It's in almost every library in Australia. This is part of what's being promoted in all schools, and not just Australia for you, just so you guys know this. It's everywhere. It's being promoted everywhere. Everywhere except Hungary, because Hungary says, we're not going to allow any of that crap in here. Hungary banned all of this concept of gender studies because it's an ideology, not a science. Well, that makes Hungary the enemy of all the Democrats, doesn't it? You know how teachers go to different symposiums and conferences and stuff to learn things, how to be better teachers? It seems that in the United States now, teachers are learning how to confess white privilege and white guilt. See, that's one of the things that has to be eradicated in the United States. Everything that has to do with white has to be invalidated. Everything that has to do with Christianity has to be invalidated. Everything that has to do with males being men has to be invalidated. So they'll do everything, and it's insidious. So now they have teachers are being trained in diversity studies that whites are genetically racist, and we have a guilt because we grew up as whites, so everything was easier for us. You know, I really don't know how to say this because there are certain words you're not supposed to say over the air. But I'll tell you something. I grew up very poor. I grew up in a neighborhood that had blacks and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and Africans, South Africans, and whites. And I mean, it was a true mixing pot. Nobody was better than anybody unless you earned the position of being better. So a guy's making a dollar an hour and he's barely keeping his family together, but he's doing it. And the guy next door is making $10 an hour. He's doing that because he went to college and he studied and he trained and he became better. That's, you know, it wasn't like, oh my God, he's so cocky. He's better than us. We don't want anything to do with him. No, nobody had that problem. My God, we were taught. The lady next door had a brand new Cadillac every year. Every year. And she was best friends with my mom, who could barely afford to feed her three kids. So it had nothing to do with it. It's the training that we get over our lives. So now you have teachers in the United States. If they're white, they go to diversity training camps where it's propagandized to their pea brains that because they're white, they're automatically racist. And then we have these psychotics that are running for office. This is astounding unto itself. We have this one named Williamson, a female. Her name is Marianne Williamson. She considers herself very spiritual and new age. She's above everyone. She's better than everyone. But she's the exact example of what the Democrats have running for office. I want you to hear what she said. She addressed a Native American group, and I want you to hear what she said.
I want to be president because I want to help this country navigate this time of crisis, help this country put to bed one era of our history and begin a new one. So many areas where on an external level there are deep and systemic injustices to be addressed. I'm running for president because if all we do is address those issues on the level of the external, then even when repair is made, repair can then be regressed, issues can be repealed, actions can be undone. I want to help this country reconcile with a horrific chapter of our past. I want our children to be taught what really happened. I want a huge series of conferences and artistic expressions. I want people of the United States to come to understand that what occurred on this planet is one of the great evils of history, but that I believe in redemption for nations as well as for individuals. We can atone. We can make amends, and if and when I'm president of the United States, we will. We will begin by taking that picture of Andrew Jackson off the wall of the Oval Office. If I am president of the United States, there will be a level of atonement. There will be a level of making amends, but also with so many other ways that your people are lifted to the level of partnership that takes us beyond the dominator model of history that white Europeans brought to this continent to begin with. Not with white people dominating on any level. From the depth of my heart and on behalf of the American people, I will apologize and I will ask your forgiveness.
So in other words, she wants to give 100% reparations to the Indians, give the land back to the Indians. Just listen to her yourself. Just look her up on YouTube and listen to her. And we all know Bernie Sanders is already insane. He's come out and he has this idea that he wants to give prisoners bills of rights. In other words, free phone calls, video chats, a living wage. These are to prisoners. And this is another one of these psychotics running for president. Let's see, Chicago teachers. The union sent a delegation of teachers from Chicago, you know, the city that has the lowest graduation rate on earth, to study under Maduro in Venezuela so they can learn better socialism. I don't know. I don't understand. People like me, people like you, that is if you're sane, are the enemy of the deep state and those that want complete and utter control of everyone. So what is one of the things that has to be destroyed and validated? Christianity. So the media and new films that are coming out are saying that Satan worshiping is a voice of reason and humanism against Christians. Against, as if anybody needs to do anything against Christianity to stop it. As if it's like, oh, I don't know, socialism? This is getting worse and worse and worse. And the problem is that there's too many people that believe this stuff. Your beliefs are your beliefs. You know, a sane man goes, I don't believe blankety blank because it doesn't work for me. So I have people come in here. Now, if you come into our store, Survival Enterprises in Hayden, you don't come in here to buy something. You come in here for help, generally. So when somebody says, I got a back problem, I have a foot problem, I have, you know, different problems, I have a dozen different professionals I can refer you to. And the majority of them are not medical doctors. They're different. They're chiropractors. They're naturopaths. There are some neurologists, some dentists, and things like that. So somebody comes in and says, I have a back problem. I got a kink in my back and it hurts and it's been hurting that way for a couple of years. And I ask him, have you gone to a chiropractor? Because, you know, if you got a problem with your teeth, you don't go to a podiatrist, you go to a dentist. So you go to a specific person or type of healer for that. And I've had people say, I don't believe in chiropractors. Why? Well, because I had a chiropractor work on me years ago and he hurt me. Okay, so that's his beliefs. That's his reality. Well, the problem is that, and I talked about the fake news, that is creating these mental circuits in the weak-minded of the world, not just of the United States, to where they believe this stuff. They believe crap. They believe lies. And now it's getting worse and worse when the media is starting promoting Satan worshiping. Something is coming. You know, I saw this t-shirt years ago. It says, Jesus is coming and boy is he pissed. All right, anyway, let's see. Those of you who have been following Jeffrey Epstein, the Epstein thing, he is the worldwide pedophile. He's the person that has been supplying the elites with young girls to have sex with. Well, he accidentally died in jail when he was alone, and he accidentally committed suicide or some such thing. Well, there was a guy, he's an investigator. There were almost 1,000 pages of information on Epstein released just before his death. A guy that's been researching this stuff, he's released two parts where he's gone through and summarized everything that was released. He's combing through it, and he's finding astounding data. Talking about who had sex with what, and when Clinton was there and his wife was there and on his island and all of this stuff. Well, I'll have links to both of those. He has two different breakdowns. I'll have links to it on my page, armchairsurvivalist.com. You just, on the left-hand side, show notes, and look for this date, which is August 25th, and I'll have the links. Now, you know, the law enforcement in the United States is now cracking down. And this story has got to be, it's got to be prefaced with, and this is something that I've talked to about, I talked to you guys about before, is that bullies continue doing what they're doing because nobody stands up to them. So you have this, this society in the United States now, or worldwide if you want, that are so entitled. They're known as snowflakes. Nobody dares say anything against them or towards them because it would affront their sensibilities or any number of horse excrement excuses. But they're entitled. They can get away with anything because nobody will say anything to them. So you're getting now, and every day you see a new one. Some guy was arrested in Cincinnati because he was a teacher and told his children, hell, I'd make the best school shooter there ever was. What a moron to say something out loud. Or the idiot that posts on YouTube, look at what I got. See this AR-15? I wonder how many school kids I could hit from 100 yards. What kind of fools would open their damn mouths and say something so stupid? Well, it's the entitlement generation. Because they're not doing anything wrong. Even when they do something wrong, they're not doing anything wrong. Some idiot kid, 15 years old, 15-year-old kid is they fought in the Civil War. They're fighting right now in Afghanistan and Iraq. They're blowing people up, 15 years old. So this kid's playing video games. He gets pissed off at another kid and types out how he's going to take his father's AR-15 to school and start shooting. Now, there's a clip here I'm going to play. The police go and they read the clip, what he wrote to him and his mother, and said, turn around, put your hands behind your back. You got to hear what his mother said.
I, Dalton Barnhart, vow to bring my father's M15 to school and kill 7 people. Go ahead and turn around. Right. Put your hands behind your back. He's under arrest currently for making a threat to cause a mass shooting / act of terrorism.
Cause a mass shooting?
He made a statement, a threat, a written threat, to carry out a mass shooting.
But he's just a little kid playing a video game.
And the charge is a felony. It might be a second or third degree. I have to double check because a written threat to harm somebody is a third degree felony. Second degree is when you involve a mass shooting at a school or an act of terror.
He's a little boy. He didn't do anything wrong. Yes, he's 15, but he's still a little boy, and he's not one of the crazy people out there doing stuff.
Okay, well, he did what he did.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be treated as though he is a terrorist or something because he made a silly statement on a stupid video game.
All right, so this is the kind of parents that we've bred in the United States. They make excuses for their children. And they keep making excuses. And as a child grows up, that's all his life is excuses and justifications. So he keeps doing whatever the hell he wants to do because, well, there's no repercussions whatsoever. He never has to worry about getting his wrist slapped. And if he does do something bad, well, mommy will get him off. Didn't work that way this time, I can tell you right now. And this whole thing is getting worse and worse. People are saying some of the stupidest things, especially on the social media garbage, and they're getting away with it. So they keep doing it, and they keep doing it. We had a thing here happen in Coeur d'Alene. There was this kid, he was about 19 years old, and he got himself this hot rod car. I don't even know what it was. So this guy with this hot rod car would go to some street, and his idea was to lay down rubber in as many different streets as he could. So he'd go in the street at 2 in the morning and peel out. And wake everybody up. And he'd drive off laughing like crazy. One day, there was a guy, and he was one of my customers. He's moved out of here now. He's moved down to Texas. But he was up here off of Prairie Avenue, and he worked at a concrete place. And this guy had come in, and this is during lunchtime, and drove across the lawn there and tore the lawn up and then took off. Well, this guy chased him down. Well, the kid didn't know anyone was chasing him. Guy's driving a rattle trap truck. Well, he pulls up alongside of him at a stoplight. And the guy gets out, walks over to the kid, and punches him 4 times right in the face as hard as he can. And then he gets back in his truck, and he drives home, goes and takes a shower, and puts clean clothes on, and sits down waiting to be arrested, because he's sure as hell he's ready for the police. Police never came. But magically enough, that kid never did that again. It's just sometimes you got to spank these people, you know? Sometimes they got to get spanked. I don't know what else to say. The problem is that people let them get away with it. And then they grow up, and then they become Democrats. And then they get elected. And then they start gaining control of schools. Not just schools. They gain control of the county. They gain control of the city. They gain control of the state. And then they change things based on their liberal psychosis, such as what's happening right now in Los Angeles. I have people call me from Los Angeles. They're afraid to go outside because they don't know what's going to happen to them. There were three people that came in here last week from Canada that went to San Francisco. They drove there from Canada. They were on a two-week vacation. They wanted to go see the beaches in San Francisco. Well, they drove and they stopped downtown San Francisco to go get something to eat, and they could not believe it. It looked like one of the Mad Max movies where people were living on the streets, defecating in the street while people were walking around them, using needles, selling drugs, prostitution, everything, right in the sidewalks, right in the street. This is the epitome of what occurs in a Democrat-controlled area, because their liberal attitudes won't allow them to punish anyone or to take control of anyone. And it's not just there. It's many different places. Sean Hannity had a little talk on that.
All right, we have vermin, needles on the street, trash piling up, full-blown homeless epidemic. Liberal-run cities all across this country, many of them, of course, well, ruled by Democrats for decades, grappling with now what is an undeniable worsening public health crisis. Now, just listen to this video posted by a hair salon owner in Sacramento, California, talking about having to relocate her business after 15 years and calling out California's far-left governor, Gavin Newsom.
I want to know what you're going to do for us Californians. I have had a business in downtown Sacramento for 15 years, but I just want to tell you what happens when I get to work. I have to clean up the poop and the pee off of my doorstep. I have to clean up the syringes. I have to politely ask the people who I care for these people that are homeless, to move their tents out of the way of the door to my business. I have to fight off people that push their way into my shop that are homeless and on drugs because you won't arrest them for drug offenses. Your liberal ideology is not working, and I don't know who you're trying to please. So while you sit in your million-dollar home and you don't have to look at what we have to look at, there's hardworking people out there that have to deal with this on a daily basis.
Now, unfortunately, failed liberal leaders are still shrugging off their responsibility, even as the safety threat is getting worse and worse. Look at San Francisco just last week. A 25-year-old homeless man arrested after violently attacking a woman outside her condo complex. And things are just as bad in Los Angeles, California, where there were literally 124 confirmed cases of typhus last year alone. Why is it that everywhere we're promised a liberal utopia, we get a socialist nightmare? And why is it that almost everywhere Democrats have had control for decades, we see massive income equality, decreasing quality of life, rising crime, a middle class exodus, mass migration out of these liberal cities and states?
Okay, this thing that you hear, and it's not just from me, you hear it all over the media, is the poop all over the cities. There is a overlay map that I've talked about. You take a map of the United States, and if you draw on a see-through overlay, lay this over the United States, and you circle each of the cities that have high welfare, then put another one on and on top of that, and circle each of the cities that have high gun control, and then high crime, and then high drug use. Every single one of these cities are the same. They're all controlled by Democrats, every single one. And now, unfortunately, there's a new overlay. This map shows the cities that allow defecation in the streets. It's high unemployment and high Democrats, high crime, high drug use, high homelessness. And now they're all categorized as poop cities. It sounds funny, but it's not. There's actually websites you can go to find out which of the cities in the United States have the highest level of human poop on the streets. Yeah, that's what the founding fathers really thought that the United States would end up as, don't you think? I mean, it's just disgusting. Well, there's one good thing that occurred, one good thing that's happened. In Dakota, they passed a law that said said you have to have ID to vote. Well, this is North Dakota. See, to prove you're a U.S. citizen, or to just, right, usually you just have an ID, you just have a driver's license or something like that. And to vote, you have to verify who you are. The only person who would not want to verify who they were would be a criminal. And that's who the Democrats, their demographics are criminals. They want them to vote. So they don't want them to have IDs. So North Dakota passed a law saying, you want to vote, you got to have an ID. any idiot can get an ID. Just go, walk into any Department of Motor Vehicles and say, I need an ID. You don't have to get a driver's license. You just get an ID. Well, the Democrats went crazy. Now, this, to Democrats, is called voter intimidation. See, this is intimidation. That's what it is. And you'll see this popping up. Trying to undermine voter and free American elections and all of this hogwash. But basically, it conforms to the constitutional law. You have to prove that you are who you say you are. You have to have an ID to open a bank account. You got to have an ID to buy liquor most of the time. You have to have an ID to rent an apartment. I mean, there's so many things you have to have an ID for. And for the Democrats to come out and say, well, it's just too much work for our voters to get IDs, is pure El Toro caca. It's that simple. Anyway, so I wanted to give at least one good thing out of there. All right, now we're going into the category of Trump. Not much there. We all know what Trump's doing because he tells everyone on Twitter. And because you hear all the Democrats screaming and whining whenever he does something positive. Unfortunately, Miss Nevada was banned from entering the Miss America pageant because she's pro-Trump. And I'm not exaggerating. She come out and says that she's for Trump. And they said, well, in that case, you're disqualified. That's all. Simple as that. You're disqualified. Trump did sign an order, and you didn't hear about it because the Democrats didn't. They're not going to give him one thing. Trump can cure cancer, and the Democrats will never say anything about it. You know how the socialists are always screaming about how we need to forgive student loans? So he does. He comes out and he says, all of the disabled veterans, I'm going to forgive their student loans. And that's what he did. So he signed an executive order. It can affect almost 250,000 veterans nationwide. So, yeah, there. Well, let's see. We're going to do government threat. This is a category I didn't ever want to do. I didn't ever believe that we'd have to do it, but yeah, we do. You know how in China, now this is not just a federal government threat. This is governments worldwide. China came out with this great idea that they're going to score all of their citizens. See, the Chinese are worse than we are. They've had cell phones longer than us. And they walk around with their head shoved firmly up their phone all the time. And they're always on social media. And they're always saying things and doing things. And this is another one of those, watch what you say because everyone's watching. So they have something called a social credit score or a social score. And the Chinese government came out last year and said, hey, we're going to start scoring people. We're going to keep track of how much you say, how much you want to try and discredit the communist country, the government, how complaining you are, how nice you are, how easy you are to get along with. Do you smoke on trains? Do you buy too many video games? Do you buy too much junk food? Do you buy too much alcohol? Do you call a friend who has a low credit score? Or have a friend online who has a low credit score? Or you post fake news? Or you criticize anyone? Or you visit unauthorized websites? Or you walk your dog without a leash? Or you let your dog bark too much? Now, these are actual reasons that people have had their credit score drop, their social credit score. So the Chinese government comes out and says, and this just came out, because of these scores, they prevented 2.5 million people from buying plane tickets. All the science fiction movies I saw as a kid and the science fiction books I read as a kid, it was almost as if they were looking at the future. How many of you have heard about these websites that you give them your DNA and they tell you everything there is to know about you? How many of you heard that? Yeah? Well, how many of you have been stupid enough to do it? Because you can either buy or they give you free these home tests where you stick a swab down your throat and wipe your throat, and that's called, you know, you get some of your DNA that way. Put it in a tube and you send it to them, and they send you a thing back that tells you a whole bunch. Well, you've been warned by everybody online and everybody on the radio saying, don't do it, don't do it. Well, what has happened is that some law enforcement agencies using warrants have gone to some of these DNA firms and got the ability to go through all of their clients. They're at the point now where they no longer need a warrant. They simply walk up and say, hey, there are all of these heinous crimes that have occurred all throughout the United States. And if we have access to your DNAs, the ones you've been collecting from these idiots that send them in, we could probably solve a whole bunch of these bad, bad crimes. And the owner of Family Tree DNA, Bennett Greenspan, said, sure, no problem. Take all you want. And they are. And that's not just with them. That's with many other agencies as well, and DNA place are as well. They're just handing over the data when asked, no warrants. So if you gave your DNA, and here's how this works. My wife, well, we had a guy come in today who had 11 brothers and sisters. Let's say one of them commits a rape, and they get his DNA at the scene, and she can't remember what he looks like or anything like that, and he disappears. Well, they just run that DNA on the data that they have on all the other DNAs they've been collecting. Oh, look, here's a guy that has a 95% match. Let's go talk to him. So all of a sudden, six of his siblings, five males and one female, get arrested by the FBI on possible rape charges. That's what's happening. This is happening. This isn't going to happen. This is happening. And you know these red flag laws that everybody's been whining about? I told you last show, they are not new. The powers that be have been using the excuse of for your own benefit to take people's firearms for decades. It's like in California, you have laws there that says you can't own firearms if you've ever had domestic abuse, you ever been arrested for or charged with domestic abuse or convicted of domestic abuse. Convicted, that's the key word, convicted, not charged. I know three people off the top of my head that one day the police showed up at their houses and said, give us all your firearms. Why? Because you were charged with domestic abuse. Not convicted, charged. How it works with this government is that they take what they want from you, and then you have to fight them in court to get it back. That's how this works. At one time, I was a master gunsmith for 25 years, and I was at a gun show, and the ATF came in, and they pretty much stole $250,000 worth of firearms from me. And within the year, my attorney learned that that was illegal what they did. But unfortunately, what the ATF does is they charge each weapon with a crime. They didn't charge me. They charged each weapon with a crime. So I would have to fight a court case for each weapon. So they use procedural shenanigans to get away with this stuff. So there's stories of people who have had, they've been caught with a couple $1,000 in their pocket and the government takes it away from them. And then you got to sue them in court, and it's going to cost more than what you got stolen from you to get it back. Well, this is what's happening. These so-called red flag things, these people, and they're not even red flag yet. The laws haven't even been passed. Right now, and I'm in North Idaho, I can call up the police anonymously and say, Fred Lipschitz, who lives at 1221 Oak Creek Way, has a machine gun. He showed it to me. And this guy's crazy. He could anytime go start shooting places up. Next thing you know, there'll be a SWAT team over there and there'll be a standoff. This isn't make-believe. This is every day. So people in Florida, guys having their weapons removed from their possession. Not because they did anything wrong, but because it's a mistaken identity. There's so much going wrong in this country right now that it's astounding that it's still standing. Well, there's so much going right is why it's still standing. But unfortunately, pretty soon the scales are going to tip the wrong way. And people are going to say, that's enough of this stuff. It's just going to happen that way. There's nothing we can do. It's going to happen. All right, I can go on. I've got dozens and dozens of examples of people that had their rights violated because they did something or said something on a social network or somebody said they said something on a social network. It's getting to the point, it's almost like communist China where every city block has a moderator or a confidential informant to tell the government who's doing what on that city block. Well, you know, it's really hard to separate all of this from the deep state and say, okay, Trump is doing this, our government is doing that, but then there's those who are actually in charge of it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Our law enforcement in the United States is so corrupt, they're what's called rogue agencies, all of them are. They're beyond and outside the control by the Constitution. In fact, there's a list, and this is a real one. This is a real list, and it's been gleaned from government documents to teach law enforcement what to look for. There are 72 type of Americans that are considered to be extremists and potential domestic terrorists. 72 types. Those that talk about individual liberties. Those that advocate for states' rights. Those that want to make the world a better place. You got me. I got no idea where that one come from. The colonists who sought to free themselves from British rule. What they do, now that Facebook is here and people are stupid enough to post all of their viewpoints and what they own and where they are and what they're doing and who they're having sex with and who they're not having sex with and all of this stuff on public knowledge. They're putting this stuff out there. Not just our government, but all governments are paying attention to this. And they're figuring out, well, you know what? All of these people sound the same. They all act the same. So let's categorize them and watch for them. Those that believe that the interests of one's own nation are separate from the interests of other nations or the common interest of all nations. Anyone that holds a political ideology that considers the state to be unnecessary, harmful, or undesirable. Anyone that possesses an intolerance towards other religions. Those that take action to fight against the exploitation of the environment and or animals. See, it's not all conservative or all liberal. We're talking deep state here. We're talking a shadow government that doesn't like concepts, that doesn't like people. If you think these things, then you obviously have a certain mindset that makes you an individual. Anti-gay, anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, the Patriot Movement, opposition to equal rights for gays and lesbians, members of the Family Research Council, members of the American Family Association, those that believe that Mexico, Canada, and the United States are secretly planning to merge into a European Union-like entity that will be known as the North American Union, members of the American Border Patrol, members of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, members of the Tennessee Freedom Coalition, members of the Christian Action Network, anyone that is opposed to the New World Order. You see where this is going? I'm only on number 22. Anyone that is engaged in conspiracy theorizing. You remember, in 1968, the CIA created the words conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. The CIA created that to invalidate anybody who was saying anything against this government. Anyone that's opposed to Agenda 21. Anyone that's concerned about FEMA camps. So in other words, anybody who's listening to this program, one way or another, you're on a list. That is, if you're stupid enough to come out and post on social network who and what you are and what you believe in and why you believe in it. You know, I have said for many years, if you don't want people to know what you're thinking, stop telling them. I have a friend of mine. He wrote a book. Do you owe any constitutional taxes? I think that's the name of the book. It's really complicated. His name's Phil Hart. And if you read the book, you realize the whole concept of income tax is fraud. And the law says it. And the law explains why you don't owe any taxes unless you're a corporation. Well, because he put the book out, the government came after him and tried to destroy him. They destroyed his marriage. They took his house. They did everything. He works across the street from me. He's still doing fine. But because he wrote that book, not because he did anything criminal, but he wrote the book, they went after him. They've come after me. Name an agency. It's come after me. It's not done anything because, well, it's tried because I'm not doing anything criminal. I'm just dangerous. I'm on this list. Anyone that is frustrated with mainstream ideologies. Anyone that establishes website or blog to display extremist views. What's an extremist view? Read these 72 items here. I'll have them a link to it on my website, armchairsurvivalist.com. And anybody who attends rallies for extremist causes, you know, what's an extremist cause? That's anything that fights the deep state. Anyone that suddenly acquires weapons. You know, and I've told you this before. You go to a gun show, anywhere in the United States, park your car. The local law enforcement will be driving through there, taking pictures of every single license plate there. It's the same thing for any of these riots or They did it at the Trump rally in Spokane. After the rally started, the police went through all of the neighborhoods taking pictures of all of the license plates of everyone that was there. And then after they've named all of these different militias members, by people who buy guns, number 41, general right-wing extremist. Citizens that have bumper stickers that are patriotic or anti-UN. I don't have any bumper stickers. Well, I used to have one. It says, you know how you see those bumper stickers that say, I break for yard sales? Mine said, I don't break. Those that have a belief that one's personal and or national way of life is under attack. Well, those that possess a belief in the need to be prepared. Okay. When we were selling lots and lots of food, I had the FBI come into my store. And it was a woman and a man. And they were the agents downtown at Coeur d'Alene. And they come in the store and they said, well, we understand that you're a good citizen. And so if anybody comes in here and wants to spend a bunch of money on food, you'll give us their name and address, right? And I looked at him and smiled and gave him a thumbs up and said, sure, right away. And they just shook their heads and walked out. But this is what they do. We are the enemy. Anyone that's anti-abortion, anyone that's anti-Catholic, anyone that's anti-nuclear, those concerned about illegal immigration. Now, each one of these has a link to a page where you can see and read the government data that claims these people are dangerous. Those that talk about the New World Order in a derogatory manner. Those that have a negative view of the United Nations. The concept of enemies list started with Nixon. And it was real. It was no make-believes. And we are, almost all of us, if we've ever stood up and said anything, we're on a list somewhere. And now we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to all of us. Good morning, food, hot sausage and mustard. While we're in the mood, cold jelly and custard. Peas, pudding and sirloins. What next is the question? When I explain storage foods, emergency foods, survival foods, that kind of stuff, everybody has their own idea, and it's going to be different pretty much all over the world. Wherever you are is where you do specific shopping for your specific style of storage. Some people have to, they don't have a basement, so they're going to have to store in a cooler area, or they're going to have to store in a wetter area, or they're going to have to store, there's many variables, and you'll have to use common sense and figure it out yourself. But there's different levels of food storage. Now, and if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, on the left-hand side, you'll see Food Storage 101. It gives you basic ideas. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. And the sad thing is, our grandparents and our ancestors, for thousands of years, this was common sense. You know, you've heard the saying, make hay while the sun shines. Well, that's real. So you make hay while the sun shines. You store your food. You package foods. You can your foods. Or you put it in a pickle cellar or in a basement or a storage area. Because during the winter, you can't do that. So you have to eat on what you have stored up. And it's gotten a whole bunch better now. Once we got civilized, we can now just run on down to the store and buy the food that we need. And not have to worry about storing it. Unfortunately, stuff happens. Everything from riots to earthquakes to fires to floods to political upheaval. Stuff happens. So it's always smart to have food stored away, one kind or another. And you don't need to say, well, I'm going to get 5 years of food and put it away. Well, okay. That's great. Except, then you just sit around until you have enough money to get 5 years of food. Well, you can start right now. It's real simple. You can start shopping using your local food ads. Like here in Coeur d'Alene, the food ads come out on Wednesday and Sunday. So we go buy the food ads and we look at it. Now, what can you store? Oh, let's see. Tuna, 39 cents a can on sale. 10 can limit. Well, guess what? You got three people in your family. Each one of you go in and buy 10 cans of tuna. Tuna will store. This is what's known as wet pack food. Wet pack is food that is wet. And usually a wet pack food is either frozen or it's canned. So the secret behind cans, by the way, is never buy one that's dented. Now, I used to work for American Can in Sacramento. We made cans for various food products, Del Monte and some others. Most of it was ketchup or corn. The inside of a can is lined with a type of enamel, and just a type, all right? That's not what it is, but it's a type of enamel because the cans are made out of tin. Now, the acid in most foods will cause tin to start oxidizing, and it will create a bacterial growth pattern inside the can. That's botulism, ptomaine, I mean, all kinds of different problems. So the enamel is just like paint. And if the can gets dented, a lot of times that paint is going to chip, which means direct access to the tin. So never buy dented cans, period. If you do buy dented cans, make sure they're fresh made and you're going to eat it right away. You don't want to buy something that's used. There was a store here in town for a number of years, and they resold stuff that was wrecked from trains. There'd be a train derailment, and food would be damaged. The cars would be damaged, so the insurance would pay the shipping company for that. So they'd just sell the stuff at wholesale, and they'd sell it here in town. Every one of the cans were dented. And it's great if it's fresh and if you just get it and take it home and use it the next week or so. And we did a few times, but yeah, it went out of business. So just pay attention whatever you're buying. I don't care what it is. Don't get dented cans. Now, there is an addendum to that. Let's say you're buying a can of freeze-dried raspberries. Well, there's no acid in them, so it's okay to get a dented can. Or banana chips, or flour, or beans. It's okay to get a dented can. I wouldn't leave it in the dented can. I would repackage it, and we're going to cover that in this. So, first off, you're going to be using your local food ads. Last night, they had a peanut butter, $1.28 for a pound, a little 16-ounce container. Now, I like buying storage foods like this kind of food, in smaller containers. So if something goes wrong with one of them, it doesn't foul the whole barrel. Like people would store, you've heard the term, one bad apple spoils the whole barrel. Well, it does. It starts rotting, and the next one starts rotting, and the next one starts rotting. So if something goes bad, I would rather it go bad in one can. We buy tomato dices in cans, and I'll buy like 24 at a time. You use those in everything from tacos to eggs to spaghetti to whatever. You mix it with other things. I have to check those because there's a few things that can go wrong with cans. And one of them is the seal along the side of the can start leaking. Or the seal around the edge of the lid can start, the tops and bottoms can start leaking. And the instant that happens, you throw it away. You never wonder if the can is still good, if the food is still good inside. You do not do that. You just throw it away. Garbage. Boom. Done. So we're going to throw away, like about 5 cans a year. And it's not just tomato products. It's citric products, fruit products, vegetable products. Because they have sales here. You'll find case lot sales where you can get a can of corn if you buy 24 of them for the equivalent of about 20 cents. Now, I'm not talking about whether or not this is genetically modified or any of that other stuff. If the Schumer hits the fan, you're really not going to care what that food is. You're going to want to keep yourself alive and your loved ones alive. But the smart thing is to store what you eat normally anyway. So when you look through your food ads, you figure it out. You say, well, you know what? Well, I eat tuna. I eat potato, peanut butter. I eat jelly. I eat mac and cheese. You eat all of this stuff. So, all right, store it. Go ahead, buy some. And it just depends on where you're storing it. You have to be aware that the things that are the enemy of storage foods is heat and moisture and air. So you need to defeat all three of those if you can. And I will give you ideas on how to do that. But again, level one is simply shop using your local food ads. Never buy dented cans. Just check around, look for different things that are on sale. Like mac and cheese. Mac and cheese is dumped into a cardboard box. Well, that's obviously not for long-term storage. That's known as immediate use storage, or immediate use packaging. That's what it's for. So you need to defeat that problem. Now, there's different ways to do it. What I do is I take a gallon baggie. Now, quart and gallon Ziploc baggies are air impermeable. In other words, air won't get into them. Now, a sandwich baggie, air will get in and out. But a gallon baggie, I take four mac and cheese packs, put them in there, close up the baggie most of the way, leave about a quarter inch open, and then suck out what air is in there, and then zip it, lock it, and close it. I've eaten mac and cheese 20 years after it was packaged that way. You can go whole hog with it and get yourself a food saver vacuum packer, and then you can open the mac and cheese box, dump out all the insides into a little tiny pack, and vacuum pack that, and that'll store 50 years. Who knows? But that's what you do. Now, if you have cardboard packages or cardboard boxes of whatever you're going to get, just do like I said. You know, put them in a gallon baggie, a quart baggie, or vacuum pack them. The second level of storage foods is dehydrated and freeze-dried staples that you can use. Now, when I mean dehydrated or freeze-dried staples, I mean like number 10 cans of sliced potatoes, number 10 cans of peas, number 10 cans of corn. Number 10 is like a gallon can. And that's what most people who store food are familiar with. These number 10 cans, six of them come in a case. And Survival Enterprises was the second largest emergency food supplier in the United States for decades till about 6-7 years ago, when the internet got so hot and heavy that the manufacturer started going directly to the public. And one of the ethical standards we have here at Survival Enterprises is that if we're selling a product that you can buy cheaper somewhere else, we have to send you there. So it ended up, we're telling everybody to go to different websites to buy this stuff. Now, the best website for canned staples, now these are freeze-dried or dehydrated. And the difference is dehydrated, like dehydrated banana chips or sliced bananas, they have about 99% of the moisture removed from them. Some products can't be freeze-dried because they turn into powder. So you'll find certain foods, vegetables and fruits that can't be freeze-dried that are dehydrated instead. The website, right, the best website for dehydrated and or freeze-dried long-term storage foods is going to be shop.honeyville.com. That's shop.honeyville.com. We were a distributor for them. The son of the owner took over, and he's a millennial hotshot and decided that he's going to go directly to the public and screw all the vendors that have been selling his products for decades. So he did, and got chewed out by me, and we just ended up stopped selling the food. But you go to the shop.honeyville.com, and it's the top-of-the-line stuff. As a matter of fact, most companies out there buy their ingredients from this company, from Honeyville, and then repackage it under their own name. They have, if you go to the page, beans and peas, dairy, fruit, meats. They even have dehydrated or freeze-dried beef, chicken, turkey, what have you. Soy TVP, for those of you who like eating dog food. It's a lot of good food there, a lot of good stuff, and it's as cheap as you're going to find it anywhere in the United States. Now, another place you can go is Costco, costco.com, and look up storage foods, survival foods, what have you. They have sales there. So you look for, if you want, now this kind of food, right, that we're talking about now is number 10 cans. So this is obviously something that you're going to store up for where you are. Say, this is where I live. I'm going to buy a bunch of food for this. And if there's something happens and I can stay here safely, well, I want to stay here safely. So this is what you do. You buy this kind of food. They come in cans. You open them up with a can opener. Now, this is another important part. I have met a lot of survivalists. And the one thing that many of them forget to store is can openers. So buy yourself a dozen. Go to the dollar store. Or, you know what? I don't even have them on our website. But we have, in our store in Hayden, I probably got about 200 or 300 left of military overrun can openers. I don't mean the P-38s. I mean an actual can opener. You clamp down on the rim and you twist the thing. Very simple things. We sell them for a dollar a piece. Or you go to your local dollar store and you buy a dozen can openers. You're going to thank me someday. Believe me. So this is the kind of food that you would buy to put back just in case something happens. Look, we have bought and sold millions of dollars of this kind of food, and I've had people contact me. I had one guy contact me. He bought a pallet load of Honeyville Foods cans from me when we were in Reno. And I never heard from him again. 5 years later, he calls me up and he goes, "You're not going to believe what happened." I go, "Well, what?" You know, and he said, "Well, I broke my back and my wife had to stay home and take care of me. So we're living on disability. We had just enough money to pay our mortgage. And if we hadn't have bought that food from you, we would have starved because we were eating that food." My wife bought a book, How to Cook with Dehydrated and Freeze-Dried Foods. And see, that's the, and he was happy about that, and he was ecstatic because that was an investment he had made in himself and his family. And these kind of foods will store if you keep them stored properly. I don't mean 80 degrees in your garage. That's not storing food. Putting anything in your garage is not storing it. It's cooking it because it gets 160 plus in the garage in the summer sometimes. So he stored it in his basement, and then they started drawing on it, and he was ecstatic about that. He was so thankful. And this kind of food will store 25 years plus if you get the right stuff. Life is a participation sport. It's that simple. You can't just grab the coattails of life and hang on and say, "Well, it'll work out." You've got to participate in it. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. They think that, you know, stuff happens to them and it just happens out of the blue and they have nothing to do about it. And when things go bad, it's not their fault. It's something else. No, it's your fault because you either did not participate or you didn't pay attention. By learning how to cook with this stuff and learning how to use it, you can make sure that you're going to be safe for a long time. There's no guarantee on any of this stuff at all. Now, there's pros and cons on the dehydrated and the freeze-dried stuff. The pros are, well, longer storage life than normal canned goods. Normal canned goods, now here's the thing about canned goods. Years ago, too many years ago that I care to tell you, me and a friend were up doing a Rubicon run up in the mountains. And I took a little path and found a cabin, a linesman cabin. See, they used to have these cabins up there that during the winter, there's no way that anybody could get in there to repair a downed line. So they would have cabins scattered all through the mountains that the linesmen would live in during the winter, and if needed, they could go and repair the lines. So I found one of them cabins. It hadn't been touched since 1923. That's a long time. And it was, you know, pretty bare, but there were some cans of food in there. There was a can of beans and a can of peaches. Now, why do I say 1923? Now, I'm just guessing because the newspaper that was on the table in there was dated 1923. And all of the insulation in the walls was newspapers from the 20, 21, 22, 23. So I ate the beans and my buddy ate the peaches and we lived. The thing about cans, ignore the expiration date. And the government has already come out and said that. Their expiration dates have nothing to do in any way, shape, or form with the safety of the product inside the can. What the expiration date does is tell you that this is the manufacturer's estimate on when the ingredients inside that can will start losing their nutritional value. That's all it is. As long as the can has not been violated or compromised, as long as the can has no hole in it, none of the seals have been burst, or there's no sticky goo on the outside of that can, or it hasn't rusted out, that's still edible. And that could be 50 years from now. It might not taste right, and it might not be full of nutrition like you want, but at least it's food. So remember that. Expiration dates are not carved in stone or steel, as it were. You have to use common sense. Look at your cans, check the bottom. If the can is pooched out in the top or bottom, Even if nothing's been compromised, if the can is pooched, the lid's up a little bit, the bottom's up a little bit, do not question it. Throw it away. And this is the main thing about bad food in cans. Don't question. Don't wonder if it's bad. If the can looks compromised, if the can is expanded a little bit, throw it out. Just remember that, and you'll live a little bit longer. So the pros on these canned foods, dehydrated and freeze-dried. Now, we're not talking about the wet pack. We're talking about the dry pack now. Wet pack is like a can of tuna, a can of corn, a can of tomatoes, what have you. Dry pack is the freeze-dried or dehydrated stuff. There's obviously, it's dry. Honeyville, not only they flush out the cans with nitrogen, which removes all the oxygen. They also add an oxygen absorber into the can. So it's zero oxygen in there. And again, what are the three things that destroy food is oxygen, heat, and moisture. So that's handled by Honeyville. And that's why these cans of food will last 25, 30, 50, who knows how many years. The pros are that this stuff has lasted a long time. And it's 50% to 75% or more lower weight than its original product. The drawback is it generally takes water to rehydrate this stuff so that you can cook it or use it. Some things you don't have to rehydrate, like the fruits. You can eat them freeze-dried. They're real crunchy. Berries, blackberries, bananas, strawberries, papaya, freeze-dried or dehydrated, you don't have to rehydrate them. So that's the thing about them. You have to have a place to store them, and you have to have a source of water. The level three are more what you would call entrees. And an entree is one of these pouches. Like you go to Walmart and go to the sporting goods section and you'll see Mountain House pouches. And they'll either be one serving, two serving, four serving pouches. Could be spaghetti and meatballs, stroganoff, or what have you. Those things weigh almost nothing. And you just tear the top off and you add whatever it says on the side, 3/4 cup, 1 3/4 cups of boiling water, you pour that in and you stir it in the pouch. And then you seal the pouch. And you let it sit. Never mind the instructions. You let it sit 15 minutes. Usually the instructions say something like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you don't wait 15 minutes, the stuff inside is not fully rehydrated and you'll have a lot of crunchy things in there. And you don't have to use the pouch. We use this stuff when we were traveling and we're in our trailer. So we would have a little pot. And we would put the requisite amount of boiling water in there. We would pour the Mountain House food in there, stir it up really good, put the lid on, turn the heat off, and give it 15 minutes. And it come out perfect. Now, Mountain House is the Cadillac. It is the highest quality. It is the first. And I can tell you this about Mountain House. There were other, about 10 years ago, a bunch of different companies started coming on the scene with their own version of pouched foods. And I can tell you this, there's maybe three companies in the United States that actually make and assemble these pouch foods, and then they private label them for all kinds of companies. One of the best known is Wise Foods. It's the best known, but it's also the most fraudulent. Wise Food, we were a master distributor for them, and when I found out the truth about their food products, I canceled it and turned them into the law enforcement in Utah. Wise Foods, to give you an idea, it's just a group of guys that got together and said, we could make a lot of money cashing in on a survivalism craze. So they got these packaged foods, these pouched foods, put them in their own little bucket, plastic bucket, had their labels put on it, and then they went about selling it, and they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars advertising them. The owner of the company flew out to me, and he had a dozen of his products. And he said, I'm going to show you how great this stuff is, because I was a master distributor for Mountain House. So he made one of each of his products. So we got a dozen of his products sitting on the counter there. I couldn't eat any of them. Not one of them rehydrated or cooked in accordance with the instructions on the pouch. So I said, look, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to show you how to do this. So I showed him how to cook all of that stuff. And he goes, okay, we're going to change the instructions. He never did. Here's the key. 99% of you that buy survival foods or storage foods never eat them. So these guys can get away with this crap for decades. They were promising, and you'll see this industry-wide, our pouched foods will store 10 years, 15, 20, 25 years. Wise was advertising storage foods of 25 years. What got my attention about them was that we had like 3 or 4 pallets of their products sitting on our showroom floor, and I had some of the pouches out for display. And I noticed the pouches started to inflate. That means one thing in food. That means there's biological activity within the pouch. That means the food's rotting. And when I asked them about that, they gave me double talk and gobbledygook and said, oh, we'll just send you a couple free buckets of the food. So that worked for about 6 months, and then I just said, that's it. I'm done. And did some more research, and turned out that they were fraudulent. And they're, to this day, fraudulent. They're advertising fraudulent. Their promises are fraudulent. As a matter of fact, Wise Foods has lost millions of dollars in lawsuits for fraudulently advertising their foods, saying, oh yeah, this stuff will store 25 years. When in reality, the majority of their products, if you have any Wise Foods, you better go check them. Now, the bucket is not airtight, so go ahead and pop the bucket lid and pull the food out. If any of them are inflated, throw them away. Not all of them are going to inflate. Not all of them are going to go bad. But a lot of them do, and that's why they lost so many millions of dollars in lawsuits for fraud. Now, there's other companies out there, and I'm going to leave it all up to you to figure out which ones you want to use. There's a lot of them that are bogus. There's a lot of any company out there, I don't care what they sell, if they have the word Patriot in it, I find that highly insulting, because all they're doing is cashing in on a buzzword. We got some guy up north of here, off north of Coeur d'Alene, out of the blue, My Patriot Supply or some such crap. He pops up spending millions of dollars advertising. Everything he sells is private labeled. None of it's his. Everything's private labeled. Advertising how he's an expert and how great he is and all of this stuff, and the people are buying his stuff, and it's like, you know, you're getting ripped off. You can buy the same stuff out of Costco for half the cost. So you have to do your own due diligence. I know it's hard, because there's a lot on the internet. Used to be, if you typed in survival food or storage food on Google, we'd be on the first page. But all of a sudden, geez, there's like 61,000 listings or million listings. So the level three are these pouches. Now, these things are very simple. You just have to use some common sense. And you add boiling water to them, and you stir them, and you wait. It's that simple. It's like making oatmeal. Do not buy any of these things that say 1 year supply, 2 years, 5 year, 10 years. Do not buy any of those, because what you're buying is some mixture of stuff that was put together by a company that doesn't know what you eat. I've looked at some of these 5 year supply of food, and there's like 6 cases of tomato juice, 10 cases of oatmeal. I mean, come on. And then you find the other one that has 5 cases of orange drink, like Kool-Aid, with high in sugar. You don't eat that stuff. I mean, unless you do. But you have to pay a lot of attention, because you're going to need places to store the stuff, obviously. It has to be stored where it's cool. Any of you who have any storage food in your garage or shed out back, you better go check it, because it's probably destroyed. I had a good friend of mine store weed up, and he stored up 100 buckets in a shed on his property up in North Idaho. And after 10 years, I went over there and said, let's open one. And it was like pure fungus. He couldn't even feed it to the pigs. He just dumped it in the landfill. All 100 buckets. That's a lot of money. Now, I'll tell you something. If you got the money and you want to do this, get Mountain House. Because I've been doing this since the late 70s, the executives at Mountain House contacted us a couple years ago and said, look, we're tired of listening to all of these newcomers brag to everyone how their product can store for 25 years and still be just as good as the day they made it, because we know better. So we're going to do a test, and we want some of the Mountain House pouch foods as early dates as we can get. So I go into my storage, and I look, and lo and behold, I found boxes and boxes and boxes of 1976 Mountain House pouched foods. So I sent them to them. They were astounded. They didn't think that there was any that still existed like that. And I'll tell you what they found when they started opening these things up. And they were opened up in laboratory settings. Zero oxygen levels inside those pouches. The food was exactly the same as the day it was packaged. Mountain House doesn't advertise this. They just used it in a promotion against Wise Foods and some other companies. I think Mountain House says their pouches are store safely 7 years. No, I'm telling you, 50. Mylar bags is what they're in. As long as you don't poke holes in it, as long as it doesn't rust, as long as it doesn't get crushed or torn or ripped. What we did was we had these Rubbermaid rubber tubs with lids on them, and we put all our food in that, all our pouch food. Or we put it in 5-gallon buckets. And that way, it doesn't get moved, it doesn't get bent and stepped on and knocked around. So if you want the Cadillac, it's Mountain House. And you can find them online. Costco has closeouts of Mountain House now and then. So that's something to think about as well. And if you were going on a hike, well, obviously Mountain House is the best way to go. Now, then you have the Wolf's at the Door, grab-and-go type food. And this is, you don't have time to cook anything. You're gonna be beating feet up the hill. You're gonna grab your pack, your gun, your dog, and your wife, and out of here you go. So you're not gonna have time to go figure out what food you can take with you. You need something that's instantaneous. Now there is a product out there, and we have it. We carry it. These are called food tabs. If you go to gun shows, most gun shows, you will find somebody selling these things. It was designed. They were called survival food tabs. They were designed in the 60s by the U.S. government for aerospace program. Picture yourself a pilot, and you get shot down over the ocean, or you have to bail over the ocean, and you're sitting in the ocean waiting to be rescued for a day or two. Well, this is a food. They're tablets. You chew them up. Each one's 20 calories and a gram of fat, a gram of protein. There's 180 of them in a little plastic can, a bottle, which is the same size as a GI canteen. So this will fit in a GI canteen holder. And each one of these, it's a week's worth of food. It literally is. You can live on them for a week. You'll be grumpy, but you can live on them. You take one of these and you put it in your backpack, your go bag, and you don't need to carry anything to cook with. Because this is it. This is your food. You get hungry, you open it up and you eat some. Now I'm 250 pounds, so about 10 of them is a meal for me. I keep one of these in every vehicle. I went to visit Wise Foods some years back, and I was as I was leaving Utah, about 200 miles north of Salt Lake, I started noticing snowflakes. Now, I just filled up with gas, and I always carry spare water, and I always carry this pouch, and I always carry my shortwave radio. So I'm driving along, and I notice it's about a half an inch of snow on the highway, quite a bit of traffic. Then I notice about an inch of snow. And then I noticed up ahead, all the traffic was stopping. So I stopped and got on a CB and said, hey, anybody up front know what's going on? And this trucker comes back and says, yeah, we got over 300 spin-outs. It seems this is the day everybody with bald tires decided to go north. So we were stuck there for 8 hours. I didn't mind because I just listened to old-time mystery theater. I had my survival food tabs and I had a gallon of water. I was fine. But you'd be surprised how many people during that 8-hour time got out of their car, now I'm not exaggerating, in shorts and flip-flops to go relieve themselves alongside the road. I was just flat astounded. But regardless, this is some kind of food. This is the kind of food you grab, you go, and you can survive on. There's also food bars out there. Don't get the stuff that's the U.S. Coast Guard food bars. They're sealed up. You know, first they taste like plastic cardboard. And then they don't store for very long. A year, I think their website says 2 years or 3 years, I don't remember. See, most people, they want to get out a Dodge bag, you know, their bug-out bag. They want to put the bug-out bag together, set it down, leave it alone, and forget about it until they need it. And that could be 10 years. That's where these food tabs come in. Now, you can get food bars. There's other companies out there that sell food bars, emergency food supplies type stuff. And you can always get that kind of thing and maybe vacuum pack them, 4 or 5 of them in a vacuum pack. I've never done this. I've never experimented. But you could probably vacuum pack 4 or 5 of them in a vacuum pack pouch so there's no oxygen in it. And it might store 5 years, 10 years. I don't know. If you do it, let me know. So I would understand. But anyway, this gives you an idea of the different levels of food and how to store things. Not necessarily how to store things, but the different levels of survival or storage foods. You start off with the stuff that you can buy every day. You know you're going to go to the store and buy a can of tuna. If it says on sale, limit three, you know you're going to go buy three anyway. So just take everybody in your family, have each one of them buy three. Peanut butter is the best protein you're going to find. Stock up on that. Stock up on beans. Canned beans are great. All different kinds. Stock up on stuff. There's no such thing as too much food. There's two axioms. An axiom is a universal law. There's two axioms in food. One, there's no such thing as too much food. And two, there's no such thing as enough food. The warning, another warning that I want to give you on these 5-year supply of food, 1-year supply of food, is that it isn't guaranteed. When they say 1-year supply of food, a lot of times what they do is they break it down per calories and say, yes, this stuff we're selling you is 350 calories a serving. Okay, so that's right about 1,000 calories a day. That's great for somebody who's 90 pounds. That'll kill somebody who's 250 pounds because you'll starve. And then they draw the calories from the things that they put in that package, and it could be, again, tomato sauce, oatmeal, orange drink. You don't know. So it's smarter to pick and choose, to buy a la carte, if it were. As it were, you just go to shop.honeyville.com, check them out. Go to Costco.com, check their survival foods out, see what they have. And remember, don't believe what all of these companies say about their pouched foods. Don't believe that they're going to be 25-year storage, 50-year storage in some of them. Just use common sense and find out, well, when you do your pouches, now this is the thing, Wise Food didn't do this. Now, I don't know if they're doing it now. Wise Food, I went to see how the Wise Food was manufactured. And when I went to Wise Food in Utah, Salt Lake City, there's no manufacturing there because they're private labeled. And they were lying to everyone saying, yes, we this is our food, we manufacture. They don't. It's manufactured in California. I'm not going to tell you the name of the company, but it's manufactured there. So I went to that company. I saw how they do this. They have the pouches on a conveyor belt type thing. As they move along, it's open on top, the pouches, and it goes. They put the dried ingredients in. And then they have a little nozzle that squirts liquid nitrogen, or I'm not liquid, I'm sorry, the gas nitrogen in. And it squirts it down, and it flushes all the oxygen out. That's great, except before it's sealed, it goes another foot. And by that time, the nitrogen, most of it's gone. And then they're sealed. Okay, so they're not vacuum packed. There's no oxygen absorber added. It's just nitrogen flushed, which dissipates by the time it gets to the sealant. The highest quality product, pouched product, would be one that's vacuumed. The oxygen is vacuumed out of it, sucked out of it, and an oxygen absorber is put inside of it and then sealed. This is what Mountain House does. That's why most Mountain House pouches look like they've been vacuum packed. And even the ones that don't look that way still have no oxygen and they have an oxygen absorber in it. So be aware of that and ask if you're looking at any of these products, do you have an oxygen absorber in each of the pouch? Don't listen to the it's nitrogen flushed. I've seen firsthand oxygen goes back into it. Now with all of the storage foods, with all the idea of buying foods for long-term storage, and again, you understand the different levels of it, there are times when you want to buy food or are given food that you just want to store for a long time and you're not looking at it for emergency supply. Like when I was a kid, I lived on a reservation, Klamath Reservation, and we stored food. Everybody canned and packaged stuff. And we had you could call it a pickle cellar, but it you walked down about 6 feet under the ground and we had this building and it was probably 10 foot by 10 foot, and it had rafters. And the ceiling of this building was basically the same level as the earth outside. All right, so we're underground, and the ceiling was right there. And we would hang things from the rafters. Grandma and Grandpa would hang half hogs and beef and One of my uncles would also hang snakes down there that he captured. He's kind of a strange guy. But regardless, all the walls were always lined with cans of this, cans of that. Cucumbers. Grandma would make pickles. And then the women would go once a year. They'd go up in the hills and they'd pick huckleberries. And you'd see hundreds and hundreds of cans of huckleberry jam and huckleberry sauce and huckleberry jelly and huckleberry syrup and just huckleberry and blackberry stuff. Same thing. So they'd store food. And it wasn't because for an emergency. It was because they had access to a lot of food right now. And they wanted to make sure that it's going to be there when they need it. So they would do various ways of packaging, pickling, salting for longer-term storage. And the same thing with eggs. I recall Grandma had a 50-gallon wooden whiskey barrel that was full of eggs and sawdust. And she would store eggs in there for 6 months to a year. So there's things that you can do in the modern age for making sure that your food lasts a long time. Let me give you an idea. We just went shopping last night. Boneless, skinless chicken breasts. $1.40 something a pound. So we bought like 50 pounds. That's what we bought last night. But the beef also. You can go find beef that's on sale. And you buy 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Whatever you want. You go take it home. And you... Now first off, you're going to... This stuff is going to be stored in a freezer. So you make sure you have a freezer. Right? Chest freezer is always the best. And make sure you have a food saver vacuum packer. Now, this vacuum packer thing is astounding. You can find them at Costco. You can find them at Walmart. You can find them at yard sales. I've got a dozen of them I pick up at yard sales. But what you do is this. Now, you can't vacuum pack wet food. So you take your chicken or your beef or your pork or your sausage or your whatever you have, and you wrap it up in cellophane. And you put it in a freezer, so it freezes. And then once it's frozen, you take it out, put it in a pouch, and you vacuum pack it. Now, these pouches, you can buy them retail at Costco, or you go on eBay. eBay is our friend. You go on eBay, and you can find these things cheap. And you can find quart, gallon, half gallon. You can find all kinds of different pouches. Most of them are what you would call butcher pack pouches. So they're thicker than normal, and you store your stuff in that. So you take a chicken, and let's say there's four of you in the house, and so you want to store up enough for a meal. You put four these chicken breasts in this pouch, vacuum pack it. Vacuum packing takes out 100% of the oxygen, and then it seals it, and then you take that, and then you stick it in the freezer. Now those four pieces of chicken, in 5 years, will be just as good as the day that you put them in there. And the same thing with hamburger. Hamburger, you can't vacuum pack, but what you can do is you take a, we've done two ways. Take a Tupperware square round, little Tupperware container that is square. Put your hamburger in it, pack it down, freeze it. Then you pop it out of the square round, put it in a pouch and freeze and vacuum pack that and freeze it. Or you take your hamburger or even soup or liquids or spaghetti and you put it in a quart baggie. And you form it, and you get out as much oxygen as possible from the quart baggie, and then you lay it on its side, and you freeze it. Like if you get canned meat. Years ago, we used to sell canned meat, and it'd be in a 28-ounce can. And sometimes we'd get a ship in, and there'd be dented cans. So I'm not going to sell them, because I tell everyone, don't buy dented cans. So I take it home. Now I take them home, I open them up, I put them into a quart baggie, I Ziploc the top of it 99% of the way closed, and then I carefully squeeze out what oxygen is in there, and then I seal it, put it in a freezer and freeze it. And then I take it out the next day or so, and I put it in a baggie. Now, what I do is, because it's frozen, and because I no longer need the Ziploc part of that baggie, I rip the Ziploc part off, and I stick the whole thing into a pouch, and I vacuum pack it. And I'm eating meat, beef, and pork that I have vacuum packed 10 years ago. And you can't tell the difference. You can't tell your difference at all. And by the way, speaking of the meats, now, those of you who used to buy food from us, remember that we had canned survival staples, we called it, and it was the beef, pork, and turkey in these cans, and they're 28 ounces, and they were in a case, and You will find companies selling these things. Now, remember, the big thing is all of these survival, quote-unquote, survival food companies, they repackage products or relabel them with their labels on it. Now, the manufacturer was an Amish guy, Amish company in Ohio, and he would ship pallet loads to me, and then I would ship it out to everyone else. He now sells a case of this meat for $85. I think the last time I sold it, it was $125. But he sells it for $85. I'm not going to tell you who he is because he can't ship worth a damn. He'll just take the case, slap a label on it, give it to UPS, which will drop it 4 feet, kick it down the road, and by the time you get it, all the cans are dented. But if any of you live in Ohio, you can get a hold of me, and I'll be more than happy to give you his address where you can actually drive over and pick it up. Okay, that's the only way I would say for you to do it. Otherwise, you can get massively screwed by these companies all over the internet selling these cases of meat, the same meat that's being sold for $85 by this guy in Ohio, by the meat packer. They're selling it for upwards of $200 a case. All right, so anyway, so we repackage the stuff, and this is the key. This is the key behind long-term storage is repackaging your food, because most food is in instant use packaging, such as the cardboard boxes that mac and cheese come in, or the boxes that Rice-A-Roni come in, that kind of stuff. And just because you go buy a 50-pound bag or 25-pound bag of beans, think, oh yeah, this is a store just like it is. It doesn't. Bags of beans, bags of rice, no, you have to repackage. Repackaging is a smart way to do all of this stuff. Otherwise, you end up losing all your money. So wet pack foods, such as meats, chicken, beef, turkey, pork, you wrap in cellophane individually, and then you freeze, and then you vacuum pack, and then you put in your freezer. Now, obviously, this is only going to last as long as your freezer does. So if power goes out, you're going to have one hell of a barbecue. Now, if you're going to smoke all your meat, that's different. You're still going to need to vacuum pack it. And there's a lot of people out there. I had one of my listeners worked for a company that manufactured beef jerky. And he was so nice. He actually sent me about 50 pounds of different types of beef jerky. And it was all tasty stuff. And I put most of it in the freezer. And within 6 months, the stuff had started growing fungus, even though it was vacuum packed and in the freezer. And the reason is because it had sodium nitrates in it, and it had other seasonings and things like that in it that allowed it to go bad. So you have to be careful. Follow the KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. My son says, keep it super simple. He doesn't like to offend. Now, that's my job. So you have to be aware of what you're storing as well. If it's heavy with chemicals, it's just not going to store long. But then again, that comes to Twinkies. Twinkies will store about 100 years. Okay, anyway, so repackaging is the way you have to do this, and it's real simple. Nowadays, you have to put it in bags, vacuum pack it, put it in cans, freeze it, what have you. In the old days, they just take it down into the pickle cellar and hang it up. So you would, and also, if you get cans of corn, cans of peas, beans, things, you know, wet pack, that have popped or are dented, or you open it by accident even, again, stick them in a baggie, freeze it, and then vacuum pack it. You'd be surprised what you see in my freezer. So you store your stuff properly. Repackaging is it. Now, the mac and cheese, the dry products that we buy and that are edible and long-term storage foods, well, they're not going to work that long if you don't repackage them as well. And that's not hard to do. Pasta, like spaghetti, noodles, just any noodles, any kind of noodles whatsoever, any kind of pasta whatsoever. I'm kind of torn on that because I've opened a box of pasta, of elbow noodles that were easily 10 years old and they're just as fresh. So I don't know. I like putting everything in air impermeable bags, pouches, but you have to use common sense. And obviously, don't store jars, glass jars, on shelves where they can roll off. That's, you know, Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. There's no question about that. So you have to be careful. So you have the vacuum packer. You have the Food Saver vacuum packer. And that is the best that you're going to buy. There's other units out on the market. They do not pull a vacuum as well. You can also, now a lot of times, like I go to a yard sale and I find a Food Saver. And the guy goes, yeah, I've had it for about 5 years. It just stopped sucking. It won't make a seal. Well, I'll get it, take it home, clean it out. Usually he tried to vacuum pack wet food, like a steak that's still thawed. So it's got a lot of blood and juice. And that gets in the vacuum packing motor and it clogs it up. Not a big deal. I can clean that out with WD-40. And then when it closes, there's two seals, one on the bottom and there's one on the top. And these are foam rubber and they have to match perfectly. You can go on eBay and buy what they call rebuild kits of these. So you can pick up one of these Food Savers at a yard sale for under $5. And then for another $5 on eBay, pick up the seals. And that's what I do. Now, there's other ways that you can repackage items also. If you happen to have access to a canner, I mean the number 10 can, one of these units where you'd put your whatever in. The Mormon church has canneries that it used to allow people to go to and can food. But you'd take a can and you'd put whatever food you want in there, and then you put a couple oxygen absorbers in there, and you put a lid on top and you press it down and seal it. Now you got something that'll store 20 years maybe. You can actually buy the equipment on eBay. Like I tell you, eBay's our friend. Amazon probably has the same stuff. Unfortunately, it's more expensive. eBay, you find people who just say, finally, I give up. I'm selling this stuff, and I don't care how much I get for it. So that's the thing. You use common sense, and you use what you've learned to extrapolate the data to cover whatever you want to store. Now, the three things that destroy food: oxygen, heat, and moisture. Now, back to the moisture thing with the cans, any cans, for everything from tuna to peaches to tomatoes, whatever. Even all of the canned meats that you people have bought from us over the years, you should look at them, because what happens is, especially if it's in a cardboard box, cardboard absorbs moisture. The moisture then is transmitted to the lids of the cans. So you look at the cans, you're going to notice rust. Now, if you find cans that have rust on them, either use them right away, repackage them, or you take 4-aught steel wool, that's the ultra-fine steel wool, and a little bit of oil, and you clean the tops as best you can. Make sure they haven't been compromised, because if that rust has gone through, throw them out. Rust is a cancer. It's just going to keep going unless you stop it. So be aware of rusting on your cans. Any can. I don't care what it is. Even soda. Even beer. And by the way, beer stores a long time too. I drank beer from a can that had been in a can for 40 years. Yeah, you never know. But the rule of thumb is, if the container, now a container can be a can, it can be a jar, it can be a pouch for dry goods, it could be a vacuum pack pouch which you have in your freezer, as long as it hasn't been compromised, that food is probably still going to be good. Now, in the freezing part, such as you would use the Food Saver for, you have to look at your food. And in fact, I'll teach you something. When you're looking at your food in a freezer, if you notice ice crystals in it, that's freezer burn. That's an indication that oxygen got in there, because ice crystals form only in the state of oxygen. So you instantly take that product out, instantly, and you either use it or repackage it. And also, if you have vacuum packed a bunch, like I do all of our chicken at the same time, I'll vacuum pack all 50 pounds of it, not in one giant pouch, but you know, I'll put 3 or 4 in a pouch and then vacuum pack, and I transport them out into the garage to the freezer in a Rubbermaid tub, and I watch, and sometimes the seal doesn't take, and it might be, you'll feel it loose. You'll see the pouch didn't seal down. You'll see it. It's visible right in front of your face. So you look at that and you go, well, I got to do it again. Don't use the same pouch. Take the food out of there, put it in a fresh pouch, and do it. And that's what one of the problems with the vacuum packing is, that you're going to find different times when your seal just doesn't work. So no big deal. That's expected waste. You just open it up, take the food out, and repackage it. And over time, we'll cover more of this. And I can, I'm always open to questions. If people have any questions about this, because this isn't a live show anymore, if you have any questions, you can email me at kw@armchairsurvivalist.com. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, you'll see at the bottom where a link where you can click on and email me. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them. If you have any questions from listening to any of my shows, you just send me an email, and I will be happy to answer it the next show. Well, I hope you got something out of today's show. I try and do something to help people every show. The food thing, there's a lot more to it than that, of course. And over time, I'm sure you'll pick up more data, and feel free to go and do your own research on it. And that's what I tell people. You know, I'm not the end-all, be-all of this stuff. I really want people to start to pay attention out there what's going on. As to the stories that I talked to you about, the news that I talked to you about, it's not all bad. And a lot of times when you listen to people like me or Steve Quayle or Jeff Rentz or Alex Jones, you think, oh, yeah, the world's crap and everything's going down the crap hole. Well, it's not. When you look at the large scale of things, it looks that way. But the best way to survive is on an individual manner. You look at your own life. You look at how you're doing. You look at how the people around you are doing. And then you say to yourself, what can I do to improve that? What can I do? Little things, believe it or not, are the big things people remember. I had a best friend growing up through high school, and then I dropped out of talking to him for decades. He moved 1,000 miles away. And then I called him up. And you know what he remembers from that time? He remembers the oddball good things that he and I did, or I did for him, or he did for me. Not the bad things. So in your own life, you look at what can help you. It's really common sense. If your life is crap, take a look at what's causing it to be crap and say to yourself, I got to stop doing that crap. It's that simple. If you're sick all the time, and then you sit there and you think, you write down on a piece of paper, what am I doing? Well, I eat crap. I drink crap. I stay up late. I don't get enough sleep. I argue all the time. Well, you're causing your own problems. So just stop doing it. There's an old saying, if you don't want your head bit off, don't stick it in a lion's mouth. So just don't do that. But I'll do what I can to help everybody out. And that's the most anybody can do. Well, right now, I want to let you know that I care about you. Anytime you have questions, you can email me, kw@armchairsurvivalist.com. And you can call the store, Survival Enterprises, 1-800-753-1981. That's 800-753-1981. 7 days a week. Most of the time we answer the phone. If I happen to be out at the casino, maybe having dinner or something, you just leave a message. But we'll get back to you. That's our job. We're here to help. You can come in anytime. Also, we have the store open. And we're closed Sunday and Monday. And during the summer months, don't come in on Friday before noon because I'm at yard sales. Anyway, this is the Armchair Survivalist signing off. You keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground and pay attention. That's the whole secret. Pay attention. See you next time.